Hello there, podcast radio friend. I know that you're someone who enjoys podcast discovery, and I think I've got a pretty good show to recommend for you today. It's called Spotlight On, and it's been running for just over 4 years out of the Pacific Northwest in the United States. It's an interview show, but not with some of the same people you hear on the other shows. You'll definitely be introduced to some new and exciting and creative people from all walks of life all over the world. And you're in really good hands with the interviewer and host of the show, too. His name is Lawrence Purrier, and I thought we'd take this opportunity to get to know him together. Lawrence, welcome to Podcast Radio. Tell us a little bit about your professional background, please.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Gene, thanks so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure to be associated with the network. I have worked in and around music and entertainment for most of my adult life, which is around 30 years now. I've worked in the music business, helping artists use technology, specifically the internet, to connect directly with their audience, with their fans, build community, build businesses, and, you know, really dig into the artist-fan relationship, giving the artist more connection with their audience and giving the audience more of what they want, which is their favorite artist.
So you operate right there at that intersection of entertainment and technology, and that is exactly where your podcast lies too.
That's right. In fact, the podcast, I view it as an extension of what I've always been doing professionally, which is, you know, bridging that gap. But I've primarily worked with globally known artists. I've worked with a lot of superstars. I've never worked with sort of the underground or the developing artists. And this was the chance to build a platform for artists and ideas that don't often get mainstream coverage or in this, you know, sort of fragmented media world we live in, give them a chance to have their voices heard. Because I'm a very big proponent that the more people that can understand and hear from the creator, the more people that will want to consume what that person is creating.
I do want to talk about the choice of guests that you have on your show, because it is different from a lot of music podcasts that may be out there. You never could guess who your next guest is going to be. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But I have to ask you this, because we live in a world now where more music is being made possibly than ever before. It's certainly cheaper and easier to distribute music than ever before, but also less music is being listened to than ever before. Is there a sustainable business model going forward for people who just fall in love with music and they commit themselves to, that's what I'm going to do for a living? Is there a way to make it anymore in 2024?
That's a massive question, and I'll do my best to be succinct. I'm very happy that more people than ever can create and have the tools to create and to get their music out there. I think of all the things that the world could use less of, art, creativity, and music is not one of them. So I don't care if you're pro-am, a kid in the basement in your bedroom, if you're a superstar, I just want you to have the tools and the means to create. I think it's a net positive for the world. In terms of people listening to less music, I don't know how to think about that, because I think there's different types of listeners, right? There's people who just like wallpaper, they turn on the radio or they put on a Pandora radio station and listen in the office, in the car, what have you. And then there's other people that maybe present company included, who are a little more obsessive and they like to dig in and they want to know what's going on and they want to explore and follow the tangents. So I kind of believe there's more people listening to more music than ever, but I don't know for sure. But your core question around business model, you know, it's only been, 100 years or so that we've had anything like a recorded music industry or global superstars in music. That may end up being the anomaly, that people who were able to make what I would call, you know, a superstar living as solely a musician, I don't know if that's going to be what the world looks like in the future. You may have to be more of a double, triple, quadruple threat in terms of your talents as a media presence. But if you're talking about people who make a sustainable living, that might be a different answer. I think there's more places to play music out in public. I think there's more ways to monetize your music, whether it's production music or licensing. So I don't want to be a Pollyanna about it, but I do feel like if you want to be a working artist, there may not have ever been a better time to be alive.
That's a really interesting point you make. And let's talk about the guests that you have, the sort of people who are on Spotlight On.
Yes.
And a lot of people will be interested who are listening, who are not only podcast fans, but are podcasters themselves. And they very seriously have to think about the decision that you made to have a guest featured podcast, because that adds a whole other level of work to your job. I imagine you spend a lot of time setting up those interviews, right?
Yes. And certainly initially, it was a lot of chasing and asking and figuring out how to gain access to people. Fortunately, we've been around, you know, we just hit 4 years and we're closing in on 200 episodes. And now most of our guests are inbound, record labels, publicists, referrals from other guests. We send a thank you after every episode to the guest who was on. And one of the things we do is we ask them to refer other people who we think they would find interesting. And that really came out of the fact that early on, I had the realization that I was getting guests that looked like me because I was getting people from my network. And if I had any desire to offer a platform to a more diverse array of people, I needed help. And so I just started asking people to find me people that I couldn't necessarily reach myself. And so that's helped a lot. But overall, the sort of governing principle around the artists is I follow my interests, and my interests are varied. And I've always assumed that if I'm interested in something, there's got to be some small audience of people out there who are also interested and would want more. And so that's who the podcast is for.
That makes a lot of sense. And I can tell that you're a very open-minded listener. I think a lot of people are in their genre at our age and they go, well, I only want to hear classic rock or I only want to hear hip hop. You're saying, play something for me that I've never heard before. I'm standing by to have my mind blown. Would you say that's accurate?
I would say that's incredibly accurate. And I think a lot of it may be because the generation I grew up in, you know, I came of age in the late 70s and early 80s and then really discovered my musical path throughout the 80s. And I think that was a time where, you know, yes, there were things like cliques and kids that were identified, you know, there were the stoners and the deadheads and the metalheads and the skateboarders and the straight edge punks, the hip hop kids. But we really all did come together. And I can remember from the earliest ages being exposed to all that great music and never differentiating between high art and low art. I never cared so much about genre. I just cared about, like, did it tickle me? And was there something interesting going on? So I've always leaned into that.
And I suspect you must be a musician yourself, right?
I mean, it's generous to say that. I play music. I record music. I put it out there. But it's
we're putting musician in quotation marks, it sounds like, Lawrence.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is the voice of Lawrence Puryear here on Podcast Radio. We're talking about his excellent show called Spotlight On, available wherever you get your podcast. You were a podcast pandemic baby, right? The show started in February of 2020. I'm just doing the math here. Did the podcast happen because of the shutdown, or was it just a coincidence and maybe you caused it?
Well, I may have, because I was doing a lot of traveling going up to it, and we do know it started here in Seattle.
Right.
Well, it was really a coincidence. The genesis of the podcast was that In a job I had at the time, I was bringing friends of mine from the music industry into the office in San Francisco. And this was artists, business people. I was bringing them into the office to do these sort of internal salon type discussions. And the idea there was, you know, when you work in a music and tech environment, there's a lot of people from the tech side, and they don't really feel like they work in a music company. They could be working anywhere, writing code or doing product work. And I wanted people to feel that same sort of privilege of being around artists and being around the crazy people in the business. And so if somebody was coming through San Francisco that I knew, I would ask them to come by the office and we would have these conversations and record them. And after we did a few of them, we realized, wow, this is really good content. So we went back and got everybody's permission and we decided to launch a podcast. So that was 19 going into 20. It just so happened that we only got it together to launch the first episode the first week of February. So it was not specifically a podcast born of the pandemic, but we definitely embraced it.
And it certainly worked out in that more people were available sitting around at home in front of a Zoom screen anyway. It probably was easier to get guests then than at any time in trying to start a podcast.
It's really funny. I think some of the people that I got early on in the podcast, I might not have gotten that early in a new venture. I think about people like Joe Satriani or Jorma Kaukinen.
Wow.
You know, those people probably would not have been available to a podcast that had 10 or 20 episodes out at that point, but they were around and they were available and they wanted to connect and talk. And so I was able to, yeah, I think you're right about that. We were able to leverage people's availability and desire to have connection.
All right, my last question for you, Lawrence. You've interviewed now hundreds of creative people. Have you taken away any thought of what makes them all so creative? Is there something in the way they grow up, something in the way their brain is wired? How do these people become so creative, do you think?
My unified theory of creativity as it stands today has to do with empathy and sensitivity, and probably quickly followed by curiosity. There's this openness, there's this sense of wonder that it really seems to be the common thread amongst all the guests, and especially all of the creative artist guests. They just want to engage with the world and maybe mirror back or absorb and display what they're seeing and feeling around them. So that sort of empathy, sensitivity, and curiosity is really what I'm seeing emerge.
The show is called Spotlight On. I think you'll enjoy it. Lawrence, thank you for the time on Podcast Radio today.
Gene, thank you so much.
Hey nerds, I'm Sarah, the paper nerd, and if you've ever wondered what goes into that greeting card you just sent or received, well, quite a lot. Get your paper fix on The Paper Fold, where I host an enchanting mix of personalities and players all nerding out on my favorite topic, stationery. From the designs of Arsenal Mail Communications to the precious space created when two people correspond, there's a lot to cover. So come grab a seat in the stationery community's only 5-star paper salon, The Paper Fold, now part of the Evergreen Podcast Network.